Fear never let me down. What's up, Quentin? Good morning. Happy Sunday to you. I like that song because it's so true. It's like diamond rings and football teams torn this boy apart. You know what I'm saying? It's just story of life, right? We were so down about football teams and, you know, failed marriages. And, you know, it's just life, bro.
That's why I've made it your unofficial theme song.
You know, it's so true, though. It's 100% true. You just hope that doesn't come true for you, but it came true for me. So we'll always open the show with that. What's going on, man? It's game day. Last week, we already had the win in the pocket from Thursday night against the Baltimore Ravens. Now it's those Cincinnati Bengals coming to town. Fans are already lining up at Arrowhead Stadium. This is what we live for right here.
I bet. And, you know, it didn't feel like a true Sunday show last week because we already had the game in the books, and so we were just talking about everything else that was going on. But this week, we've got true Chiefs football. We have some Chiefs news to talk about. Like, this is going to be a full show. Now, I get the big question is going to be, are we going to have three breaking news stories during our show? Because we had the Dak Prescott contract came out. We had the Tyreek Hill getting pulled over by the police came out. I mean, it was just full
of breaking
news.
Literally, that was just right before, man.
It really was. We had three breaking news stories before the show started. So let's hope for a little bit of a calmer show.
Oh, let's see. Did we miss anything? Or did we get it all? Is that everything?
I do feel like there was one more.
He said Dak. He said Tyreek.
Yeah.
Gosh, dude, what else was it? I know it was something that broke.
Mm-hmm.
Just right before that. Oh, it looks like McCaffrey might go down. They're saying, you know, he's going to do the 4 weeks IR, but he could be out 6 weeks. That doesn't spell very good. And you know what? Props to him for being healthy last year with the Niners. But that just shows you why you don't pay your running back. Because Jordan Mason gave you everything you wanted last week. And he's an undrafted running back. But this is why you don't pay the big money. And San Francisco's going to learn whenever they have to pay Brock Purdy.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm always one of those, if you believe in your scheme enough, then you shouldn't have to worry about, you know, what running back is out there. Because if you can find a guy that has a similar talent, you can get similar production. And while Christian McCaffrey, you know, his biggest plus doesn't necessarily come in the running game, it's in the passing game. You can find two guys that can fill a similar role to that. So you can find a guy that's good catching the ball out of the backfield. You can find a guy that can tote the rock and run downhill, because that's what Kansas City has done for years now, right? They haven't went out and spent money in free agency or paid a guy, you know, after his contract has ended to come in here and do that. And the last time they spent a first-round pick on a running back, it turned around to be one of the most scrutinized draft picks that Brett Veach has had. And it's because you can find talent, you know, wherever. We always talk about Pacheco. Look at that, late round pick. But even looking back at a couple years ago, Jerick McKinnon, right? It was a pickup. It was a nothing contract. And for the last 10 weeks of the year, he was one of the leading receivers on this team. He was vulturing touchdowns all the time. So, yeah, it's just another example of no matter how good a running back is for your team, you can always find similar production somewhere else. And there just isn't a lot of positions in football like that.
No, there's really not. But, man, I feel bad for those fantasy football owners that went C-Mac early on that. I'll get to that in a minute. The Royals win again. They're just destroying Pittsburgh. I mean, this team's, you know, steamrolling towards the playoffs. It's going to be fun. You're going to get Kansas City Royals baseball right here, 96.5 The Fan, in the fall. We'll get to some Royals stuff in a little bit. Vern comes your way on 6:10 today. He'll come up at noon right here. We'll have the Chiefs and the great Art Haynes coming up at noon, and you'll maybe get to meet Art, man. I have to introduce you to Art, Quinn, because he comes up here, Chiefs Network, you know, it's right here in this building, and Art was a longtime voice of Missouri State.
I was going to say, you want to talk about, like, a pure radio voice?
That's
like, it's just
Art.
Perfect.
It's Art freaking Haynes, and, you know, he brings on Mitch and Danan. Saw Danan this week. We started the Fans Football Show at Buffalo Wild Wing. Thanks for coming out. There's a bunch of people that came out. I appreciate that. Off 152. The Fans Football Show with me and Mitch Schwartz will be in Belton this week at the Buffalo Wild Wings. We always bring on a Chiefs ambassador with us as well. We had Danan Hughes last week. That was fun. Of course, Sidelines, Josh Klingler, and Dan Israel put it in their grip. But Art Haynes, I'll introduce, he's just a legend, man. He's a Missouri State football legend, but he does the Chiefs pregame. I mean, it's not the fall unless you hear the voice of Art Haynes. One of the coolest dudes that I've ever met. I'll introduce you to him when he comes up here a little bit later. Local football, talk about Missouri. It was a very good Boston College team. They beat, weren't exactly crisp. Kansas State made some coaching errors, but clearly got an easy win. Missouri definitely played the better team this weekend. Although Arizona's very good. I mean, Arizona and Ted Roll McMillan, their coach last year, Jed Fish, should have stayed there instead of going to Washington. They, even though Brent Brennan, I think, is a good coach, that Arizona team is very talented. They just weren't prepared.
I mean, they were ranked 20 in the country, and I know rankings
only two
can
games
be,
ranked games.
Exactly. I know rankings, especially this early in the season, can be, you know, wishy-washy, but you're also ranked for a reason, right? They saw the talent that was on the field and thought that they'd come in. But yeah, my Wildcats just beat them up. After that first, I know we'll get into this later, but after that first touchdown by Arizona, I was a little worried that it was going to turn into a shootout, and I don't know if Avery Johnson can win that way. But, man, that defense clamped down, and that Wildcat offense just kept rolling.
Well, Minza, the redshirt freshman quarterback at Tulane, really tore up that secondary last week. I mean, tore him up.
Exactly, and that's why I was really worried.
Noah Fifita is thrown for over 400 yards in a game this year. He's very good. That whole connection with him and Tetaroa McMillan goes back to Servite High School in California. I mean, they've been that good and that well-connected. And Tetaroa McMillan, in my opinion, there's Luther Burden and T-Mac 1 and 2 as far as the NFL draft is concerned. And he still got his. I mean, he still got his, but it's like, you know, is he going to eat this game? He did, but credit to Kansas State for shutting him down. We'll talk about that game much more later. And the Kansas Jayhawks. Go ahead and make your Cancun reservations for the college football playoffs, but we'll get to all that stuff later. But I want to get in to what is the Cincinnati Bengals and Kansas City Chiefs week. I consider this the biggest rivalry game of the Chiefs. Historically, you know, it's the Raiders. I look at the Raiders kind of like the petulant child at this point, though. You know, it's just a team that, you know, does stupid stuff, like the whole circle arrowhead in the bus, the Kermit the Frog thing by a seventh-round pick who's done nothing in his career. Just a kind of annoying pest, kind of like a mosquito. The Broncos, they're floundering around. You know, is Bo Nix the answer? They think it is. I don't think it is for Denver. So, you know, it's the Bengals. Bengals are that number one. You know what? Put Buffalo there too. Buffalo has proven that, you know, they aren't going anywhere. I think Buffalo's going to be much better than a lot of people thought. But the Bengals are always that pain in the ass. Now, they have a great fan base. When you watch those games, everybody's in their orange and it looks great. But my question is this. Did you see that when the Bengals were bad? And the answer is no. You didn't see it. Well, Marvin Lewis years, yeah, people came to the games. Not like this with Burrow. I think a lot of fans coming to Cincinnati are, quote, the new blood fans that are riding this Joe Burrow. Yeah, he's 3-1 against Mahomes, but all those games, you know, with the overtime could have been different. Of course, the Chiefs did beat him in the AFC title game. That's important. But they're, you know, striving for validity. They always talk their trash. And the trash talk started this week with Cam Taylor-Britt. I actually like Cam Taylor-Britt when he played at Nebraska. The guy's a good cornerback. But like most, he needs to shut up.
What does Xavier Worthy bring to this KC offense that you guys need to be prepared for?
That's about it. He can run straight. Run jet sweeps and just run straight. He can't do too much else, so that's about it. Feel like you put your hands on him. He's only 100-some pounds. So if you put hands on him, you'll stop the speed. So basically get hands on him.
So it's Cam Taylor-Britt. Oh, you just run forward. Here's the thing, Cam. You better be careful because the Chiefs keep receipts. The Chiefs keep big receipts. And the dude you just talked trash to had 2 touchdowns in week one. You're talking about the guy that led the University of Texas in catches and yards the previous 3 years. He, if he gets around you, will flat embarrass your ass on national TV. This is the big game across most of the network. 4-2-1 speed will make you look stupid, Cam Taylor-Britt. You're running your mouth, completely running your mouth, and you don't need to, but this is the way Cincinnati Bengals play. They do their talking before the game. The Chiefs cash their checks when they write them. It's a big difference. There's those that write checks and don't cash them, and the Chiefs write the check and cash them, but they let their talking on the field do the work. Mitch Holthus this week joined the fellas in the morning. He said this about Cam Taylor-Britt.
And I know Taylor-Britt, Nebraska Cornhusker, he also was a little bit yickety-yak this week too, right? Yep. Talking about, he's talking about Worthy? Like, I guess he's a fast guy.
Right. Yeah, all he has is speed, is what he said. Yeah.
And he can run in a straight line.
I don't know what Ramondre Stevenson has or the New England Patriots, but he was running over Taylor-Britt, who wasn't really anxious to tackle him.
Right.
Now, Trent McDuffie's not that guy.
So there's Cam Taylor-Britt talk by Mitch Holthus that joined Bob and Dusty this afternoon, or excuse me, this morning. Bob and Dusty when they weren't today. It was this week. But Bart Scott, who has definitely said his things, you know, that weren't pro Kansas City in the past, he addressed this situation on Get Up on ESPN.
You brought up something that RC is going to remember well that this reminded you of.
I mean, first of all, to quote Billy the Kid, I'll make you famous. You don't want Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes to make you famous.
Right.
First thing I thought was what the Anthony Smith is going on here, right?
Don't you do that.
Why poke the bear? Like, listen, they made Anthony Smith famous. You know, we remember this and know this, and RC had a front row seat to 400 yards of an aerial assault and attack. And this is something that you don't want to be on the other end of. Why poke the bear? The back-to-back champions that went out and beat a team in your division that has Super Bowl aspirations. Tom Brady?
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, that guy. Why would you poke the bear with that guy?
Yo, why would you poke the bear? And at what point, Quentin, are people just going to start looking at Mahomes and say, all right, you know, enough of the trash talk? Because he's going to make you look stupid. Jamar Chase found this out on when he said, who's Patrick Mahomes, right? And then it was after last year's Super Bowl when he held, not this one, but the one before, he held up the two rings and said, that's who. That's all he needed to say. That's who. I mean, he put Jamar Chase in a box at that point, right? I mean, it's two words. That's who. It was great. It was like, you can run your mouth. I have the rings. You know, Cincinnati, what the hell have they won? Nothing. But they continue to talk. But Patrick Mahomes continues to shut people up.
You know, and this isn't even like a new thing. Patrick Mahomes has always been this way, right? You remember the first big example we saw this was when he went to Chicago and it was him versus Mitch Trubisky and he was counting on his hands how many players were drafted in front of him. Like, this is just the way this team is. There, Andy Reid doesn't let them, you know, talk before the game. The one that time they did, Justin Reid, he shut it down. And then after they beat people, which happens more times than not, then the Chiefs will come out and they'll say something. They'll say something, you know, a little bit of snooty, a little bit of jab at you. So if you don't know what the situation is, then you won't understand it. But if you're paying attention, you'll see that I'm sure they've got some sort of a board inside the locker room where all these people are talking smack. And there's just a lot of people that are talking smack towards the Chiefs. And you know what? Keep talking for all I care because it seems to motivate this team.
Yeah, and then there's Jamar Chase, who, by the way, the rumors were he turned down a $35 million a year contract because he wants one penny more than Justin Jefferson. This is his thoughts on Kansas City.
We are the team to beat in the AFC, and we know it, and we got to act like it, and we got to play like it, too.
You're not the team to beat in the AFC. You lost at home to the New England Patriots. Your quarterback holds his wrist all the time. T. Higgins isn't even playing. Your defense can be soft as Charmin against the run. You are not the team to beat in the AFC. Jamar Chase went on about how much he hates Kansas City.
Yeah, the energy's there, both sides. I'm sure they know we don't like them. They know they don't like us. So, I mean, the energy's already there. It's not really much we got to say now to this point. It's been 4 years now, so everyone gets it.
The chirping and the talking, does that make it more fun for you?
In the game, yeah. You know what I'm saying? When the media come, y'all just blow it up and then make some stuff out of it. But I just wait till the game come now. I'm smarter than that. Now I'm 4 years in.
Now that's the one thing he said that I appreciate. He goes, everybody blows things up, but I'm 4 years in now. I'm 4 years in. He still wanted to talk his junk, but he did a little bit when he talked about hating Kansas City and all that. But he said, you know what? I let my play do the talking. I'm 4 years in now. I'm learning. Is he starting to learn? Well, see, by the way, I just read something this morning that he had taken out a $50 million policy in case he's hurt. Right, because it would still be a lot less than a new contract that he turned down, but we'll see that. Coming up next, though, we will talk about Hollywood Brown because that was kind of the story of the week for the Kansas City Chiefs. You knew he wasn't going to play today. Didn't look like he's going to play all season. What does this mean for the Kansas City Chiefs? We'll discuss it next. And welcome back to After Hour, Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris. Kansas City Chiefs, Bengals today. You get the pregame show with Art Haynes, Mitch Holthus, Dana Hughes, Dan Israel, Josh Klingler coming up at noon. Plus, I'll talk some college football with them about 12:45, local college football. Can't wait for that. Kansas City Royals, by the way, back-to-back wins. They've guaranteed their first winning season since 2015. We'll talk about them in just a little bit. But the Hollywood Brown news came out this week. Of course, he missed the last game and then went on IR. But she knew it was going to be longer than 4 weeks. And now it looks like, well, he's going to be gone this season. He could come back for postseason, maybe. My question is, at that point, do you really bring a player back? And that would be a great addition for the postseason. I just don't see it happening. Do you see this happening at all, Quinn? Because I think that's a pipe dream.
I think that if he comes back for the postseason, which I'm not sure that he will. Here, I'll open up the curtains a little bit.
I had missing months of practice.
Exactly. I had shoulder surgery, 2 years ago now? And even after you fix it, right, and you have to go through all your physical therapy, the problem is that I still didn't trust my shoulder at that point, and I wasn't getting smacked by, 300-pound linemen or 250-pound corners, or safeties. So even after you get it fixed, it is still a pretty weak joint because of the ball and socket joint. So I'm just not so sure, even if he comes back for the playoffs, how much trust is he going to have in that shoulder to feel good to go on a football field?
Yeah, on the team chemistry, because they've already done all this without you and got to that point. Our phone number, by the way, 913-586-7965, 913-586-7965, if you have thoughts on Hollywood Brown. It's also our text line. You could text into the show at 9 J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965, the same number as our phone number. I think this can change, though. The Hollywood Brown thing is interesting because Hollywood Brown is costing himself the bag because this was going to be his prove it year, right? I mean, there was a lot to lose for Hollywood Brown. It was a great win for the Chiefs because he was going to come in here and he was going to go out each week and make his money. You're with Andy Reid, your head coach, the most brilliant offensive mind in football. Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the NFL, is your quarterback. This is like a perfect situation for Hollywood Brown to go get that money next year. The Chiefs, it even said, they're probably not going to bring him back next year. It's going to be a one-year deal when he came in here. And it was going to be great for Hollywood. This was his chance to shine and make money. It's like a waiter or waitress, right? They're at a restaurant. Well, it's probably in their best interest to put a smile on their face and be nice to people because they're making money on tips. So however you work is the money that you make. That's what he would have him here. Now, I thought when they signed him, it is a little bit of caution. You are talking about a guy that's missed 8 football games the last 2 years. Has nothing to do with this year's injury, but I'm just saying. He's missed 8 games. So when I knew he was coming here, I was like, this is the year. And, of course, we do character concerns. I do character concerns with Chris Sunocero every Monday, and we do all that draft talk leading up to the draft. I'm like, Xavier Worthy was it, man. It wasn't like they went and snagged a Luke McCaffrey as well in the draft. It was one guy. And I keep hearing all the people talking, well, the wide receiver room is so much better. I ask you, how? Rashee Rice is the same dude. Is he better? Yes. So I'll give you that. Justin Watson, had him last year. Mecole Hardman, had him last year. The only difference to this wide receiver crew is Xavier Worthy. And don't give me Juju Smith-Schuster, because it doesn't matter. But Xavier Worthy, right now you're balancing thin. If someone gets hurt, you're effed, if you know what I'm saying. If someone gets hurt, you better hope they don't get hurt. Xavier Worthy never missed a game at Texas, knock on wood, but he's a smaller guy. He's taupe, but all that pressure is now on him because he's got to be the dude, man. He's got to be the guy without Hollywood Brown because Hollywood Brown was going to bring, so much different to this offense. It's not a ton different. If you want to say, well, the receivers are completely different. Well, in theory, they could have thrown the ball downfield more if it was Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy, like a perfect world, like he thought things were going to work out. But I'll say this too. I know that Xavier Worthy had that chance to go out and, make over $20 million a year as a free agent because that's what happens in football to wide receivers right now. I'm saying there's a possibility he could come back to Kansas City if he doesn't play this year on a cheap one-year prove-it deal again. I think that's still in play. Because I think he really wants to play for this team, and I think they want to see it. It was a freak injury that happened in preseason. But I always thought he was a one-year deal. Now I'm thinking maybe he could come back on a similar one-year deal the year after.
Well, part of that whole prove-it deal, part of the whole prove-it part is proving that you can stay healthy for a full season and produce for a full season. So it wasn't just, I'm out here to prove whether or not that I am a quality NFL wide receiver, that I can be one of those 1A, 1B type guys. You know, I'm not an elite receiver, but I'm still really good. But there was also always going to be an asterisk next to Hollywood Brown. Everybody who saw what he had done over his career expected him to miss some games. Now, obviously, nobody expected this. But, Bink, you and I were talking about this before the show when we were coming in this morning, is that the weird part about this injury is it happened, and they were like, okay, it's about a four-week injury. Then early last week, we were told that he's going to have surgery. We'll see him back about, you know, week 10-ish, give or take. And then we got the update again to where they said that, no, he's gone for the whole season. So it's been really weird to just see this progression where it's like he's going to miss a little bit of time, and he's going to miss a little bit more time. No, he's done. And that's just been really strange to me. In terms of the wide receiver room, I do think that this is better because you did addition by subtraction to where you aren't trying to convince everybody that Kadarius Toney is a number one wide receiver and you're moving forward with guys that you feel good about and you feel talented about. Because I do think that Rashee Rice is a number one wide receiver. And I do think that with Travis Kelce being healthy this season, you're going to get more production out of him. So I do think that the wide receiver room is different just because you have gotten rid of Kadarius Toney. You're not depending on him anymore.
Yeah, and that's kind of a myth on last year, Kelce. I know he missed the first game because he was banged up. He still led all NFL tight ends in yards per game. He was only 36 yards behind George Kittle in total yards for a tight end. But he still led every tight end in the National Football League in yards per game. So, yeah, I mean, he did slow down. But this year, with 80 catches, he becomes the only guy in NFL history to have 9 straight years of at least 80 catches. You know, passing Jerry Rice, Marvin Harrison, Torrey Holt. Boom. There he is. 8 straight years. Well, he's got 8 now. He's tied with him. He could be 9 years, which is incredibly insane. But Brett Veach did say this right before the draft.
You know, Hollywood situation played out the way he did, and think he's going to be a great one-year addition for us, and he's going to set himself up nicely moving forward. So I think we're excited.
It was right there before the draft. 1 year, he set himself up nicely. Well, him setting himself off nicely ain't happening this year. And he's not helping the Chiefs. And I get it, man. I get it. Mahomes and the Chiefs can win with bad receivers. They did last year. They won a Super Bowl. They could do it. 100%. I do not doubt they can't do it, but I look at what this team did in the offseason. I mean, they said, come hell or high water, we're going for the three-peat. You brought back the whole defense. You brought back them. Yeah, you got rid of them, but you brought back the offense. Hollywood Brown was the big addition through free agency to this team. This team is hell-bent on winning a three-peat. I'm constantly making this team better. And what's the best part of this team? It's Patrick Mahomes. Undoubtedly, unquestionably, this town will never, ever have a quarterback as good as Patrick Mahomes. Just won't happen. So feed him with what he needs and make his life easier. That's all I'm saying. Just make it easier. Make it easier for him to go downfield and do things. He should be priority one. And I get it. You're bulking up that offensive line. You're making him good. Giving him talent at wide receivers and making it easy. I get it. He can make water out of wine, or wine out of water. I get it. He could do that. But you don't want him to continue to have to do it. Ask Peyton Manning what it was like having Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison. It's okay to give quarterbacks talent.
I mean, ask Tom Brady what it was like playing with Randy Moss versus his last 3 years in New England.
Yeah, he went undefeated that season. He never won a championship with Randy Moss, but I mean, he did like the Deion Branches and the Troy Browns of the world, but you know, ask Elway or Marino about not having Duper or Clayton. It's okay to have talent. It is okay to me. That should be the number one priority. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
How can we make Patrick Mahomes' life easy? Well, you just gave him Xavier Worthy. Yeah, you brought back Juju Smith-Schuster. Has got bad knees. Who had yet another drop? They had 4 drops last week. You just don't want to see a repeat. Hollywood Brown was going to make this offense better. I mean, we thought, okay, the Chiefs are going to throw downfield. They led the NFL in passes under 10 yards last year. And you're like, but they can still win. No question about it, they can still do it, but they make you sweat. I mean, there were some close games down the stretch in the postseason. I'm just saying, give that damn Ferrari some gas.
Let me ask you this then. Preseason versus now, do you feel differently about this offense?
A little bit, because I was counting on Hollywood Brown.
Okay.
I was counting on that because you bring back the Legion of Zoom. I mean, Mecole Hardman's damn fast. We know that. 4-2-1, and in the 4-2s, the high 4-2s for Hollywood Brown, and 4-2-1 for Xavier Worthy, you're like, whoa, you know, there's some freaking speed out there. Let's not forget that Isaiah Pacheco, we haven't seen like the huge breakaway, but he can do it. Let's not forget that Isaiah Pacheco ran a 4.37 at the combine. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco can flat move. They've got the speed. Hollywood Brown, I thought, was going to be a big addition. I think it's a big loss for the Kansas City Chiefs. They were really counting on this, you know, because now you're getting thin. Now you're like hoping nobody gets hurt.
I think that's the big point, is that if you run into another injury, that's where you really start to worry about what this team has. Because past the big couple, yeah, you've got some decent pieces like Juju Smith-Schuster, but they're not guys that you really want to depend on.
It's the people get hurt like Puka Nacua might be out 5 to 7 weeks. Yeah. I mean, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and especially because this injury happened in preseason, you know, now you're heading into a season with what is a very thin room. Like, I know we can all agree on that, but I think that Xavier Worthy, you know, maybe because Rashee Rice, you know, was able to come onto the scene last year, you know, I think maybe that we have more confidence that Andy Reid is comfortable with bringing guys into the offense faster than he would have previously. Because before Rice, the only two rookies that were extremely successful in an Andy Reid offense were DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin. And Jeremy Maclin was because they were completely rebuilding that offense and there was nobody else to throw the ball to.
Yeah. Hey, as far as the text line, they're saying also MVS is gone. That makes him better. Don't forget, hey, MVS during the season dropped a lot of stuff. But guess who stepped up in the postseason? He did. He actually, you know, made some key plays for the Chiefs down the stretch, saying Juju Smith-Schuster's already an upgrade. Did you watch Juju last year? I mean, there was a reason why a team that was starred for wide receivers, a team that tried to sign Calvin Ridley, I'm talking about the Patriots, a team that tried to trade for Brandon Ayuk, didn't want to go there. That team that starved the wide receiver talent cut Juju.
I mean, wasn't it the report last year that his knee was the size of a cantaloupe?
Yeah, I did drop that one. I'm just saying, man, it's not 100% better, but they've proven they can win with it. I'm just saying, make his life easier. Our phone line and text line, by the way, Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965, the same as the phone number. We could discuss this. Plus, we'll just look at the complete matchup of the Chiefs and the Bengals next. Hey, and welcome back, Jay Binkley. Quentin Morris producing the operation. Waka going today for the Kansas City Royals. Look to sweep the Pittsburgh Pirates, Chiefs, and the Bengals. Make the world a better place. Punch the Bengals in the face. That's what I'm talking about today. Screw them. By the way, according to Ian Rapport, looks like Kyle Van Noy. Fesco had cleverly named him Karen Van Noy this morning because all the whining and complaining, or during the week, because all the whining and complaining. I talked to Mitch Schwartz about it. I was like, you know, what's going on here? Why are players relying on the visiting team for their trainers? You got your own to go with you. Then the Chiefs talked to the Ravens, and then the NFL got involved and said the Chiefs did everything right. Now he might be playing today. And this guy has always hated the Chiefs. So I'd say make the world a better place, punch Kyle Van Noy in the face. They did. So now we have a better place. Reggie from Anaheim gives us a call at 913-586-7965. He is the leader of the Los Angeles area Chiefs fan club. What's up, Reg?
Man, it's good to hear from you again, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Reggie. You know, it's not a football season unless I hear from Southern California's most famous Chiefs fan.
That's right, man, because you know the West Side is the best side, man. I'm happy to see another Chiefs season, and I'm really stoked about the offense, man. Obviously, you know, the Ravens game, we saw a nice glimpse of what the offense could be this year. It sucks that Brown went down like that, man. I mean, I like you. I was really tingling to see him with this complementary of weapons that we have. The only pushback that I'll give to you, Jay, and only a slight pushback is I don't think Juju is as washed as people are saying he is. Now, and the only reason why I say that is because it's for two reasons. For one, I don't think Brett Veach and Andy Reid Brass would have re-signed him if they had big concerns about the condition of his leg, of his knee. And yeah, then
it's a solid point, Roger. We'll stop you there. It's a solid point, but also it was kind of insurance until you got Hollywood Brown back. And I think originally thought he just missed one or two games. So I don't think they looked at Juju to be this long term, you know, guy out there helping out. I think they wanted him as a Band-Aid. Now they're going to have to use that Band-Aid.
Yeah, but here's the good thing about it though too. If you're Juju Smith-Schuster, they're still not asking you to be a number one. You're still like the number four passing option in that offense behind Kelce, Worthy, and Rice. You know, and probably what's 84's name? It escapes me at the moment. But
Watson?
Watson. Watson,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. right on cue. But so what I'm saying, though, is, like, last week people were, like, really jumping him because he had that drop. But if you go back and rewatch that replay, he actually caught the ball. He wasn't able to secure it to his body before his momentum of the catch took him to the ground, which basically meaning like the only thing that could stop it to break his fall was his hands, but his hands had the ball in it, which is why the ball came out. I think as you begin to see this offense go along, Juju is going to start doing Juju things, which is being reliable third down passing option and in the middle of the field, which is kind of a duplication of skill sets of what Rashee Rice has and Calvin Kelce. But I think Juju's going to have a really good year, man.
That's good stuff. Thank you very much for the call, Reggie. I understand, man. We're hoping Juju can do it. I mean, that's – you hope that. I mean, it's what they have right now, and he definitely has NFL experience. But, you know, what do you got left? I mean, the Patriots – teams don't often just move away from you when they're desperate. And I looked at – and I know I trust the Chiefs. They'd grab somebody that they think can help them. I'm just always concerned about a team that was really needing wide receivers, who really tried to get Calvin Ridley, really tried to get Brandon Ayuk, and they cut Juju, and they're willing to pay the money. It just kind of concerns me to some point. But text line, they're already saying Noah Gray for a touchdown today, put it down. I like that. I like the way Noah Gray's playing. I Chiefs tight ends, I love that tight end room, man, with Kelce and Noah Gray and Jared Wiley. They can run 12 and 13 personnel, which they like to do with the two and the three tight ends. I mean, this might be a way to supplement Hollywood Brown being gone, right? I know Samaje Perine dropped what would have been a touchdown last week for 34 yards, but he's great out of the backfield catching the football, and Pacheco's gotten better. So you start throwing out of the backfield more, tight ends, you're getting more production from Noah Gray. You try to supplant about that loss of catches from Hollywood.
Wasn't that the final thing that broke on the show, the Noah Gray contract?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Uh-huh.
I think it was.
But that tight end room, yeah, I think that it's going to have to carry a little bit more weight outside of Kelce because we know what Kelce is. We'll see what – the fact that they did give him that extension tells me that they plan on using him more into the offense. So we'll see what they do there.
They just like – he's a ball player, man.
He is,
He always plays. I mean, dude's from Duke. I mean, he's
a well-rounded number two tight end.
They have very cerebral guys that they – Noah Gray, clearly that guy. Jared Wiley was very cerebral, and they picked him up. Hollywood Brown is a very cerebral player. I mean, Hollywood Brown, I mean, blew him away at the combine because he was not only diagnosing his play, but the blocking assignments of everybody else. It was just different. And let's not forget he was a former academic All-Big 12. It's ridiculous. His talent is ridiculous, and I'm really hoping he burns Cam Taylor-Britt today. And I hope he lets him know about it, too. Because one thing I don't like is all these players doing talking and then lose the game. I mean, that, you know, just talk afterwards. Talk afterwards. Cash your own checks on the field. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. It's also the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. 6-5. More on this game, plus a look at what the Kansas City Royals are doing next. Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Quentin Morse producing the operation. Hope you're having fun driving to Arrowhead Stadium, getting excited for the Chiefs and the Bengals. And this is great. I think a lot of people just kind of forgot how much the Chiefs had. Remember last year, the last six games never happened where the Chiefs had, or a team had less rest than their opponents. And the Chiefs said that, you know, go through that. And this is a team that had gone deep in the playoffs the last 6 years previously to that. They had that extra time for the Bengals, right? They had that little mini bye week by playing on Thursday. So I think that's great, because remember last year the Buffalo Bills had a week off before they played the Chiefs, and the Chiefs would have won had it not been for Kadarius No Hands Tony. Kadarius Mondesi. Yeah.
There you go. That's much better. I think that's a very good comparison.
The Kansas City Royals, 8-3 Friday night, 5-1 yesterday in Pittsburgh, which I think that's the, I don't know, PNC Park is just, I think it's the coolest stadium
in Major League Baseball.
I mean, it's just the way it looks and everything. And
the beautiful backdrop of the bridge. You know, Pittsburgh is the city of bridges because they've got like 6 or 7 bridges coming into the city. Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful looking ballpark.
Yeah, I do like bridges. And I can't wait for them to open up the Buck O'Neill Bridge. That thing is a conduit from the Northland south, and I cannot wait for that thing to be open. It's been closed forever, so let's hope that opens up soon.
Yeah. The Royals just dominated Pittsburgh on the last two outings. I know that they scored 6 in the second inning on Friday, and that was, the game was over from that point because your starting pitching was going out there and just looking good. That's the thing.
They're just putting teams away early, man. Is, you know what I'm saying? That they're going out and knocking them out early.
And the new additions, you know, Tommy Pham, looking good. He's playing some right field earlier. So
Pham has been such a great.
He's been fantastic.
Addition. Fantastic. I see what you did there.
But the Royals have looked really good, and I know the Pirates are sort of coming off a little bit of a downtime here, but you know, they're still a good quality baseball team. You may not know the names, but they have great starting pitching, and the Royals have just dominated.
Paul Skeens. They're not seeing Paul Skeens.
Well, even outside of Paul Skeens, they still have very good starting pitching.
This is what Pittsburgh does. They look good, then they don't. I mean, I don't know, man. Bobby Witt, by the way, hit his 31st yesterday. So this
he did.
Continues to mash. This could be a fun team. And they're a scary team. And there's a lot of teams, like short series, you're looking at throwing out Reagans, Lugo, and Michael Walk at this
point.
That's
what I would think,
and
yeah.
In the bullpen, you're maybe throwing a Brady Singer, Alec Burks. The Royals, you don't really want to tangle with them at this point. They're playing good at the right time. They just went through a hell of a schedule, the Riptide, as Vern talks about it. But we're in, just put your seatbelts on, man, because it's going to be a fun ass fall.
Well, and when you've got Bubik, Daniel Lynch, Brady Singer possibly coming out, and Marsh all coming out of the bullpen, I mean, the bullpen woes that Kansas City have, I mean, you can sort of set those to rest if those are your guys coming out of the bullpen, right? Because you don't need that deep of a bullpen when you're heading into the playoff series, because you aren't worried as much about guys getting days off and stuff like that, because it's now or never. So when you're able to have just 3 starting pitchers like you do in the playoffs, and then you're able to move into some of your elite arms coming out of the bullpen, yeah, this team is going to be very scary, and teams should be worried about facing Kansas City because they've shown to be able to shut down top offenses and been able to hit off a really good pitching.
I used to call it a little stretch between Arrowhead and Kauffman, the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. That ain't the case anymore. This ain't your daddy's Royals or your daddy's Chiefs team. That is the epicenter of sports right now.
The Boulevard of sports dreams.
Yeah, of course, the World Cup's coming to Kansas City. Fesco just tweeted out. He's got his Fesco. He always has like the red sport coat and stuff, or the blue sport coat. I remember in New York, he had that blue sport coat for when the Royals were in the World Series. He's got his captain's hat on, Chiefs captain's hat, with his Brett Beachtown shirt. He's tailgating. He's got some just cookies that look fantastic. He's out there tailgating. So go find Fesco. He's got great cookies. And I'll probably give you one.
Go on a Fesco hunt.
Yeah, go on a Fesco hunt and see what you can. But Chiefs fans piling in. This has become such a tradition in Kansas City. Fans, families get together, watch the games. It is the Bengals. This is the game. I would listen. Beating Baltimore was awesome because you look at these number one seeds can line up. And I know Cincinnati is a better team than what you saw last week. Sekhi's touchdown. They're better than that. But I do want to see the Chiefs hammer a team. Don't want to be sweating in the fourth quarter and look at it, well, if this would have gone their way, that would have gone. Don't want to sweat it. Just knock them out, man. Put your foot on the gas. Keep it on the gas. Punch them in the face. Again, make the world a better place. Punch the Bengals in the face. I heard Rome say that one time.
I think,
but it wasn't the Bengals. It was something else.
I think that if you're gonna, if you have an opportunity to punch them in the face, I think you will. I think this is going to be one of those games where the Roy or the Chiefs are going to dominate the game, and the Bengals will score like a late touchdown to just make the score look a little bit better. But when you look at the box score, it'll look kind of close. But if you actually watch the game, the Chiefs are going to dominate all of it.
They're just a better team. They made a mistake by not bringing back Joe Mixon, the Bengals. You know, I know Ja'Marr Chase is going to go ahead and play this year, but you can't tell me that resonates positive feelings in the locker room when he's not getting paid and that's your best offensive weapon besides Joe Burrow, right? The Bengals are notoriously cheap. And you had Trey Henderson that won it out before the season started. Now, listen, they're edge rushers. Kingsley is going to get tested today. Trey Hendrickson, you know, this guy can get to the quarterback. Sam Hubbard on the other side. Von Bell in the secondary. They have some good pieces on defense, but the Chiefs are all around better team. Coming up next, time to talk some local college football with our dude, Drew Nixon.